Hey everyone, my name is Morgan Pinnell and I'm with EDF Action. I will be your guide along with my partner, Trevor McNary, for EDF Action Campaign Academy. We started Campaign Academy because so many Americans believe that the environment should be a priority, but so many policymakers are not enacting that. And we want to see more people who care about the environment run for office and win their elections. We will be guiding you through a series of 10 modules here on the nuts and bolts of political campaigning, everything from fundraising to digital organizing to digital security, the whole nine. And so with that, I'm going to introduce our first presenter, Mark Beatty. Mark is a veteran of the 2008 and 2012 Obama campaign, and he is a founding partner of 270 Strategies. So thank you, Mark.
A little more background on myself. I got my start in politics on the 2008 Obama campaign, working both in field and in analytics. And then on the 2012 campaign, I was the deputy battleground states director. And so I was responsible for putting together the process that resulted in strategic campaign plans for each of our 10 battleground states, and then managing the strategic budget that we spent building those state programs. And so that idea of how do you build a campaign plan that really helps you accomplish your goals and is specifically tailored for your race, for your district, is something that I'm really passionate about. And so the first module in this training series is on exactly that, is how do you build your strategic framework? So our goal for this first module is to help you understand how to create a strategic framework that applies to your campaign and that allows you to work backwards from election day in order to achieve your campaign goals. So what we're gonna start with is an understanding of mission, goals, strategy, and tactics. Campaign planning is something that we think is really important as you manage your campaign. You've gotta plan your work before you then work your plan. And every campaign plan should have a mission, it should have a clear goal that you're working towards. It should have a clear strategy and tactics that you can track every day. Campaigns move really quickly, as you all know, and they change fast. So as a result, if you're building a campaign plan, it shouldn't just be a document that you write and then stick in a drawer and don't look at again. It should be a living document, which means something where the goals that you have in your plan are something that you're tracking every day. And then at regular intervals, it could be quarterly, it could be after a big moment on a campaign, like the primary, you reassess the campaign plan and say, did the plan that you put together at the beginning make sense? Do you need to change it up? Do you need to adjust to make what's working work even better, or to change the things that aren't working? Because in any campaign, some of the things that you expected will work great, and some you'll need to adjust. So why these four components? What makes mission different from goals, and how is that different from strategy and from tactics? So for mission, that's really what's the end result. What are you going to accomplish if your campaign is successful? The goal then is how do you measure whether or not you're achieving that mission, and how will you know if you've been successful? Your strategy is how do you employ your resources in order to achieve your goal? And your tactics are what actions are you taking to execute your strategy. And so all four of these things build upon one another. The mission is the thing at the very top. The goals are how you track if you're succeeding against your mission. Your strategy is how do you marshal your resources to achieve those goals. And your tactics are all about making your strategy real. So a simpler way to say it is that your mission and your goals are what you hope to achieve. And your strategy and tactics are how you're gonna achieve it. Mission for a campaign is pretty easy. The mission is that you're trying to win the election. That's the reason that a campaign exists. Now for each of you, the issues or the values that you're fighting for example, certain environmental issues that you care deeply about, those are gonna determine why winning is so important. And for any campaign, you've got to keep people focused, including yourselves, on something bigger than just you. So knowing what that mission is, which is to win, and knowing why you want to win, is really critical to making sure your campaign is focused on the right stuff. Your goal, then, is the next big piece. And for any campaign, the goal is pretty easy too. The objective of any campaign is to win 50% plus one of the vote, or if you're in a election where there are more than two candidates, a plurality, more than anybody else. And the goal, this 50% plus one or this plurality of the vote, this should be your North Star. Every day as you're building your campaign, as you're doing events, as you're talking to people on the phone, you've got to ask yourself if the campaign activity you're working on is contributing to reaching that goal. And if it's not contributing, stop doing it. On the Obama campaign, our goal was 270 electoral votes. That's the number of votes you need to win the Electoral College. And so every day we asked ourselves, is the work that we're doing today contributing to us reaching 270? And if it's not, which you'd be surprised at how many campaign activities you probably could streamline and cut out because they're not as strategic, not as focused on your goal, then we stop doing them. Okay, so how do you calculate your goal? The first is that you got to estimate the number of votes that are going to be cast in an election. And the easiest way to do this is to look at what did election results look like for similar races in the past. So try to look at the same office and try to look at the same type of election cycle. So for example, in presidential cycles, turnout tends to be higher. In midterm cycles, like coming up in 2018, turnout tends to be lower. And try to look for races that are the same in terms of how contested it will be. So for example, close races tend to have higher turnout. Races where there's only one candidate on the ballot or only one competitive candidate tend to have lower turnout. So look at past election results, then try to adjust it based on what kind of cycle are you in, how close is the race, and how does that compare to what came before? And then you can adjust up or down based on enthusiasm. We know that in a lot of places, enthusiasm is higher in 2018 than perhaps it's been in past midterm elections. And so use those numbers to get your best guess of the number of expected votes that will be cast. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be close. Then take that number and multiply by 51%. Because if you get 51% of the vote, you'll win. And that's your vote goal or that's your win number. Or if you're in a contested race where there are multiple candidates, pick what you think will be the winning number. Maybe it's 40% and multiply that by the expected number of votes that are cast, and that's your win number. This number is important because this is your North Star. This is the number that you're building towards. And that if you reach, you'll have been successful and you'll achieve your mission of winning. Okay, once you have your goal, then how do you build a strategy? So strategy is the plan for how you're gonna use your resources in order to achieve your goal. But the resources that you have to mobilize isn't just the amount of money that you can raise, it's your time. It's your list of supporters that you start with and that you build. It's your personal story that makes you unique that you bring to this race. It's your public reputation and people who know you. And it's the accomplishments that you can use to help explain why you can make change or why you can be successful in this office. All of those resources are resources that you have to think about when you're building your strategy because you can use them to help you achieve your goal. My favorite way to talk about strategy is it's taking what you have, turning it into what you need in order to get what you want. In most cases on day one of a campaign, you won't have everything you need to get what you want. You're going to have to build it. You're going to have to take the number of people you know, the relationships that you have, and use those to recruit supporters. Then those supporters can help you get other supporters so that you can grow your organization to raise the money that you need to persuade people with your message and to mobilize people to vote. So on day one, you won't have everything you need to win the election, but you take what you have, you then build it into what you need, and you use that to get what you want, which is to win. So how do you win votes? There are three basic ways to do it. The first is to register voters who are likely to support you so that they can then vote on election day. The second is persuasion, which is finding voters who you think are likely to vote based on election day, And the best way to predict if somebody is likely to vote is if they voted in the past, and persuade them to vote for you instead of your opponent. And then the third is mobilization, which is finding that list of supporters, those people who are likely to support you and vote for you, and making sure they show up to vote on election day. Those are the three ways you win votes. You register people, you persuade them to support you, or you mobilize them to vote on election day. And the right mix of those programs, whether you should spend relatively more time on registration, relatively more time on persuasion, or relatively more time on mobilization, is based on the specifics of your candidacy and the specifics of your district. So for example, if you're in a district where turnout is relatively high and you know that a number of voters are not necessarily with your party, there's a lot of undecideds, then you have to do persuasion in order to get people to vote for you. If, on the other hand, you're in a district where party identification tends to lean with your party, then it can be about mobilization and making sure people show up to vote. Coming into 2018, usually in a midterm cycle, the biggest challenge is mobilization and making sure people vote on election day. And so that can often be the focus in a midterm, but it really does vary district by district, and it really does vary candidate by candidate. And then the final piece is capacity building, which is that capacity building won't win you votes, but it's building the resources that you need in order to execute a really good registration program, a really good persuasion program, and a really good mobilization program, which means raising money, recruiting volunteers, and building the political support networks of validators and local organizations who can be with you to support you in executing those other three programs. So how do you win votes? Those are the three big programs, but the real key is understanding your audience. So understanding who are the voters in your district, who are the people that you can persuade, who are the people that you can register, who are the people that you can turn out, and what do they care about? And so you've got to understand your audience. You've then got to meet them where they are, with all of the campaign tactics that you have at your disposal in order to deliver your campaign message, which is the consistent narrative that combines who you are, what you stand for, and what issues you're going to fight for, and connecting that with what the target audiences in your district care about. Combining those three things is what really builds a campaign message. It's who you are, what you care about, and what you're going to do, and how that'll help the people in your district. And then once you've developed that message, make sure that you're delivering it to voters where they are at all times. And that's really the focus of your campaign. If you're successful, you'll really focus in on knowing that audience and thinking about the individual voters that you're trying to reach. And then tactics are all the different ways that you can execute your strategy on a day-to-day basis. They're sort of the building blocks of your strategy, the day-to-day actions that you can track that are about delivering, they're all about all the different ways that you can deliver your message to your target voters. So there's a ton of them. In field, you can do one-on-one meetings, canvassing and phone calls, text message, which is something we're finding more and more people are paying attention to text message, even if they're not answering their phone. Delivering literature, making sure that your volunteers are writing letters to the editor. Digital is increasingly important, going back to that principle of meeting voters where they are. So email, your website, social media, video, all those are components of a digital program. Political, which is how can you mobilize local organizations? How can you have surrogates and leaders in the community vouch for you and amplify your message to the audiences that they have a connection to? Earned media, press conferences, message events, roundtables, rallies. Paid media, digital, TV, radio, or mail, depending on what your budget is. And then fundraising, small dollar work, which you can often do online through email. And large dollar programs, the folks who are able to donate relatively more, who you may or may not have in your supporter network. But all of these are specific tactics that need to be in service of your strategy. The mistake that a lot of first-time campaigners make is that they really focus narrowly on the tactics rather than picking the right tactics that support their strategy. So for example, if you know that you're gonna have to do a lot of persuasion in order to win your race, then you need to make sure that your field program, your digital, your political, and your media are focused around persuasion. You might do a series of introductory paid media to help build your name ID and let people know who you are. You might do earned media that then connects who you are with the issues that you care about so that you get to be known for what issues you're going to be fighting for. And then you'll convert a number of those people to be supporters, and then you can turn them out as you get closer to election day. So really, you've got to make sure that the tactics that you choose are delivering your right message to your core audience in a way that's connected to that strategy. The great thing about tactics is that you can set goals for every tactic that you're going to be focusing on and track your progress. We know that the bigger goal of a campaign is to reach 51% of the vote and win, but it's hard to know where you are, right? You might have polling, you might not have polling. That polling might not be updated very regularly. And so in order to know if you're making progress, you've got to have input metrics that you can track to say, are we building our campaign along the ramp we need in order to win? And so these benchmark goals allow you to track that progress. So for example, if you're gonna do a one-on-one program in order to build out your volunteer organization, set goals for how many one-on-ones you're gonna have every week and then track your progress. The other idea here is that the specific goals you focus on will change as you move through your campaign phases. So early in the campaign, you might be really focused on organization building. And so you're tracking the number of new volunteers that you've recruited. You're tracking the number of donors who sign up. As you move then to voter contact, you're tracking how many conversations are you having via canvassing or via phone calls. And then as you move to GOTV, you're tracking how many supporters have pledged to vote and have said, and or if you have a state that's an early vote state, how many of them have actually shown up and voted already? And does that line up with what you thought you needed in order to win? This is where integration across departments really matters, because if you're thinking hard about that audience that you're trying to reach, what you realize is that they don't think of themselves as someone you're reaching through field and through digital and through earned media and through paid media. They're just a voter, right? And so thinking about it from their perspective is that they're interacting with your campaign across all of these programs, right? They might see a story in the newspaper that was driven by your communication staff about a new issue that you took a stand on. They might get a phone call from one of your volunteers that want to tell them more about you. They might see a digital ad that you place or see something that you post on social media. And they're not going to think, oh, that came from their field team. That came from their digital team. They're going to think that came from your campaign. And all these different channels of ways to reach voters will come together to decide whether or not they'll vote for you and if they'll show up to vote. And so making sure that all of these tactics are working closely together is critical, especially as voters are bombarded with information on TV, online, and on their doors and phones. And the best way, if you want to integrate across departments, is to have a very clear shared campaign timeline. Campaigns evolve in phases, as I mentioned earlier, where you have different priorities depending on where you are in the campaign. Early in the campaign, you care about building awareness and about building your organization. In the middle of the campaign, you care about talking to voters and persuading them based on your issues, or among your supporters, motivating them that this election's important and they need to show up to vote. And then as you get closer to election day, it becomes about just motivating your supporters to show up on election day. And then when you're thinking about your campaign, As you get closer to election day, that's when voters start paying closer attention. And so making sure that you've built the infrastructure so that you can have a huge effort as you get closer to some of those key dates is really, really critical. You have to invest in capacity building or you'll never build the organization you need closer to election day. So what does the timeline look like? So the best way to think about campaign timelines is that the most precious resource you have on a campaign isn't your supporter network. It's not the money that you raise. It's your time because you can't move election day. And so time is a finite resource that you can't ever get back. And so the best way to build a campaign timeline is to start with that immovable election day and work backwards from there. What kind of organization will you need to contact all of your supporters during the get out the vote period in the couple of days or the couple of weeks before election day? What will you have to do in order to get your message out to all the people you want to persuade? Think about that from election day and then work backwards from there. Tactically, you can start by listing key dates and deadlines, right? The registration date, the early vote period, the vote by mail dates of when ballots get sent out and when they need to be returned by. All those are dates that you can get from the Secretary of State or from a Board of Election website, one of those two depending on the state. Then there's other key deadlines that you know will be part of the campaign. There might be key events that are relevant in your district. There might be debates that you know are going to be scheduled. Put those on your calendar as sort of anchor points. And then holidays, things like Labor Day, are really critical and are key moments when voters start paying increased attention before November. And then for your state, the primary calendar may look different than in another state. So be really hyper-focused on that so that you're building one campaign calendar to get you to the primary and one campaign calendar from the primary through the general election. And then finally, create a set of phases so that everyone in your campaign knows what's most important during that particular phase. So on the right-hand part of the slide, you can see an example set of campaign phases with a launch where what you're really focused on is introducing yourself to voters and making a great first impression, because you can only do that once. Then moving into a capacity building phase where you're trying to recruit donors, you're trying to build a volunteer infrastructure, you're building all of your digital assets and having a great online presence with being able to reach audiences there. Then you move into voter contact, where you're using all the different tactics, earned media, paid media, digital, field, in order to reach voters, to persuade them, register, or mobilize them. And then finally, get out the vote, the period right before election day, where you're focused on making sure your voters show up at the polls. The specifics of what dates you put within each of those phases can change, but those big four phases are going to be relevant to every campaign. And so that's sort of the core of campaign planning. It's really straightforward in that you focus on your mission, which is winning. You figure out what your goal is, which is the number of votes that you need to win. You then build a strategy that takes the resources that you have, builds them into what you need in order to achieve that goal. And then you start working through a set of tactics in order to deliver your message to the target audiences in your district that you'll need to win. And if you do that and build that campaign plan and update it regularly based on what you're seeing in your race, you'll have a strong foundation to win.
So thank you for that, Mark. That was super helpful. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about your experience in the Obama campaign. You know, ways in which this kind of stuff came up.
So on the Obama campaign, we did planning at a lot of different levels. There was, you know, sort of the highest level of what did the campaign look like nationally? But I think what we did that was so important was that we built plans in every state, right? So the plan that you had to win in a place like North Carolina was different than the plan in Ohio. In North Carolina, there was relatively low voter registration, and so voter registration had to be a key component of the strategy there. we had to expand the electorate. And that meant really investing in grassroots and digital voter registration. In Ohio, registration was already pretty high. And so there were a number of undecided voters that we needed to persuade. And so the effort still needed to have really strong digital and grassroots, but it also had to have a different message. The message was much more about the why of voting for the president, rather than getting people really excited about voting in order to register. And so it drives everything from, in what places do you do your events? What message, what do you invest in? And we tried to make that different for each state. The other key component, though, is that we didn't just do planning at the state level. We tried to get as granular as we could so that in every neighborhood, in every precinct, if you were involved in the campaign in that precinct, you knew how your goals came together in order to help support the state's goals, came together to support the campaign's national goals. And so what that meant is that the work that was happening in any precinct was connected to something bigger. And I think you can apply that to a race of any size. So if you're running at a more local level, making sure that if people are working on your campaign, they know how the work they're doing in their ward, in their precinct, on their street makes a difference and adds up to your overall goal. It'll make people more motivated and help them feel more invested in the campaign.
Yeah, and Mark, when you're talking about expanding the electorate, persuading people to vote, and turning people out, like, how should campaigns think about how to prioritize those things? So I know you mentioned kind of about where they are and who their electorate is, but also if we're talking about campaigns with limited resources.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's a question that every campaign faces. The Obama campaign in 2012, I think, the budget was something like $1 billion, which is just many different orders of magnitude from local campaigns. And it still felt like there were never enough resources. There was never enough time. And I think that's true for every campaign at every level, because election day doesn't move, and you could always have more conversations with voters. And so I think what campaigns need to do is think about, what's the most realistic and most reasonable path to victory? When you figure out what that win number is, what's the easiest way for you to get there? Is it by doing voter registration? Possibly, and that can be fantastically impactful, but it also might be really hard, especially in a midterm election. Is it through turnout? If you think there'll be enough supporters, and it's really just about making sure they show up on election day and that will get you where you need to be, that can be a strategy. Or it could be a place where turnout's relatively high and you need to convince people to vote for you instead of your opponent. That can be a reasonable strategy. In my experience, the best campaigns almost always do some mix of all three. And it's really based on looking at how have elections like this gone in the past? What do you think are your strengths as a candidate? And how does that compare to the past voting history and the partisan breakdown of your particular district? And how well do people know you, right? If you're a first-time candidate and need to raise awareness from the very beginning, you might focus really hard on raising awareness first that you can then use to pivot to persuasion or pivot to mobilization.
In what ways do you think running for office as an environmentalist should alter your strategy and overall win plan? And are there factors or constituencies you should consider as you make it part of your win plan?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think running as an environmentalist means that environmental issues are really core to the work that you want to do in office and are core to the values of why you're running in the first place. And so in my experience, the most important thing to remember here is to think really hard about your audience. So in your district, in the race you are running, how will you be able to have an impact on those issues in a way that will be meaningful to your constituents? And then if you think hard about what do your constituents care about, what does your audience care about, and then how does what you bring to the table connect with that audience, that's the core, whether you're running as an environmentalist or running on another set of issues.
Yeah, and when you're talking about developing that core and finding that core, how can a campaign or movement test and refine the core message if they don't have, you know, a presidential level marketing team and research to kind of choose what's the best message moving forward?
I think that's a great question, Trevor. Campaign budgets can range from a few $100s to $1 billion, and you can run a really great campaign at sort of any level. The way that you think about your message can range from really research-driven and informed by data or not, and it can still be really authentic and really effective. And so I think, again, it really comes back to the audience and being able to listen to the audience. And there's a few different ways to do that. One is you might have polling available, or there might be public polling available in your district or a district like yours or a region like yours. Look at that polling and see what do people say that they care about and what messages seem to resonate. So that's at one level. But if you don't have polling, if you don't have that type of research, focus groups, other things like that, it's really just about different ways of listening. And so when you're having conversations with voters at events or on the doors or on phone calls, listen to what they say they care about. Ask them questions about what they care about and what they think they need, and then figure out how you can position yourself to meet that need. There are ways to do it with lots of resources and data and sophistication, but at the end of the day, it really comes back to just listening to the audience, and you can do that better one-on-one with a voter than you can in really any other way. And so I'd really just encourage thoughtful, active listening on what people care about, and then developing message, a platform, a set of issues, a core narrative that meets those voters' needs.
Mark, what would be your suggestion for how a candidate could incorporate environmental organizations into their core network of people, that group that is going to get them across the finish line?
So I think working with partners is a really important way to build organization, because any partner group you're working with is going to have a core set of supporters that already have that connection. And there's no better way to meet a new audience or a new group of people than if you're recommended by somebody that they already know and trust. And so I think any candidate who's running on environmental issues should figure out who are the national or state level groups that are working in their area, and who are the local organizations and the local activists who are active on those issues, and go and meet with them. Have one-on-one meetings, have conversations, tell your story of where you're coming from and why you're running. Understand from them how they see the issues and what they see the needs are, and then try to build partnerships, which can range at a lot of levels. It can be as simple as, folks saying, "Hey, I like what you're saying. We're not going to endorse, but we appreciate your thoughtful approach." Or groups might give you an endorsement and then might introduce you to the members of their organization. They might send emails on your behalf. They might let you attend events. But I think the big thing is, as a candidate, your goal is to try to meet with as many people as you can. One of my mentors in campaigning said, a campaign is really about building a list, right? It's about building a list of as many supporters as you can prior to election day so that those folks show up to vote. And the list that you're building are your list of supporters, but it's also the list of partner groups that are going to be on your side and can connect you to those supporters and validate the work that you're doing. So I think that partnership program, that building connections with local leaders and local stakeholders, should be a core component of any campaign strategy.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that's a lesson I think not only political campaigns, but advocacy campaigns run by activists can also take. So what other lessons do you think activists who are not necessarily working in a political space, on an electoral politics space, but are working on an advocacy in the advocacy space, what lessons do you think that they can take from successful political campaigns?
I think advocacy campaigns and political electoral campaigns have so much in common and so much to learn from each other. I think in some ways, political campaigns are more straightforward than advocacy campaigns, because the goal is really clear. The goal is 51% And the timeline is really clear, right? You can start from election day and work backwards. Advocacy campaigns can be much harder in that your goal could be a little different. It could be harder to define, and the timeline for success can also change depending on what type of issue you're fighting on. And so in some ways, I think electoral campaigns are more straightforward. But I also think that electoral campaigns can learn a ton from really successful advocacy work, and that advocacy campaigns tend to be good at telling a narrative, at mobilizing people to take action, and at building relationships with people in order to achieve sustained, lasting action over time. And really good political campaigns do that too. They try to build relationships with their supporters over the course of the campaign, rather than just asking them to show up in the final few days of the election. They try to really keep people focused on something bigger than themselves, in order to motivate people and in order to persuade people. And they connect people back to the core values of what they're fighting for. That's something that advocacy campaigns do almost by definition, and something that good political campaigns do the same.
So that's really great, Mark. So when putting together a platform, what are some of the things you might consult, or who are the folks you might talk to if you're looking to make environmental issues a big part of your campaign?
So I think putting together your platform and putting together your core message are really closely intertwined. An effective core message connects who you are and what your values are with the issues that you're fighting for or the change that you're going to make in order to meet the needs that voters have. And so a core piece of that message is what are those issues? What are the things that you're fighting for? And so again, I think it comes back to the audience. How do environmental issues affect your district at a really local level? How do they have an impact on the things that people care about? Whether it's pocketbook issues, whether it's quality of life issues, whether it's impacting the world, and connecting them then back to the values that people have and the story that you can tell. So I think if you're able to connect who you are with what those issues are, with how they impact people in a local way in that district, that's what you're going for. The process of how you do that, I think, involves a lot of active listening with voters. I think it means building connections with other stakeholders who have been working on this, these types of fights in your district. It means building partnerships with local organizations who are working on it and coming together around a shared vision. The best campaigns are ones that aren't, it's not just the candidate who's out there pounding the pavement. It's them working with people and being a facilitator that brings lots of people together around a set of issues and around a vision for what the future looks like in your district. And so it's really that facilitation, it's that leadership, it's that convening that I think the best campaigns make. It's not just about the candidate, it's about what you all can accomplish together.
Great. So I think, unless you have anything else, Trevor, I think that's it for us. Thank you so much for your time, Mark.
Yeah, thanks so much. And good luck to all the folks who are running as first-time candidates. Look forward to hearing how the other 9 sessions sort of connect back to these bigger picture issues. Good luck. So excited for your opportunities.